Salvation or being saved. Let's try this on for size. There was once a Buddhist, a Jew and a Christian. And they all died and were at heaven. And as they went through the pearly gates, as we say, they were each asked, if you had your time over again, what would you change? And the Buddhist replied, if I had my time over again, I would stop war, do everything I could to stop war in the world. And the Jew then said, if I had my time over again, I would make sure that the wealth of the world is distributed evenly amongst the poor and amongst all, not just kept for the wealthy. That's what I would change. And the Christian said, what I would change? Well, I would change my doctor. Oh, come on. Work with me. Salvation has always been one of the challenging topics for the church, particularly the early church, because the Jews always understood themselves as the chosen race, that they were select and that they were going to be admitted to paradise. And then when they were awaiting the Messiah, Jesus comes along and he was not the Messiah that they wanted or that they were expecting. Jesus was not mighty on a horse like a powerful military man. He was quite the opposite. He rode into Jerusalem on a humble donkey, and then he was crucified as a common criminal. So for the Jews who had the expectation of being saved, they were let down by the messianic Jesus. Then you've got the early church. Now, Luke's writing his gospel after the temple in Jerusalem had been destroyed, which was 70 AD. And Luke's writing his gospel at the time that the Jews are now starting to persecute the Christians. So they've thrown the Christians out of the synagogues because the followers of Christ, they weren't called Christians at that time. They would still continue their prayers in the synagogue. And then they would have a private gathering later. But the Jews threw them out. And so now they were hunted in a sense. And the Christians, those early followers of Christ, always believed that they were saved because of the death and the resurrection of Christ, that witnessed event. So they really felt that they were already saved. And the Jews were still waiting. As time would unfold and history unfolds and the church starts to mature, it always grappled with the story or with the history of salvation. It remained a contentious issue even up to the time when some of you, I'm not sure how old you all are, but some of you who might be quite old would have been taught perhaps in school that it was only Christians who could be saved, and particularly only Catholics had the singular truth. Everybody outside of that, well, you're going to get an entree, but you're not going to get a main course. Now, since the Second Vatican Council, when the leaders of the Church of the World came together, they reassessed the way that they viewed salvation in the light of the fact as well that there had been two massive world wars, plus if you go back through the Reformation and then go back through the Crusades before then, Christians and even the Catholic Church didn't always get it right. So the history of salvation, the teaching and the understanding of how many are going to be saved and those who are going to be saved, that has caused battles, and it has at times caused great bloodshed and hurt and pain. So it is the healing of those events that allows us now in 2019 to be able to say that when we think of salvation, we think of those who acknowledge God. The language that we use is very different. And it's not about being politically correct. That's not what we're talking about. We have come to a mature understanding that heaven is inclusive. The place of our salvation is inclusive. And it actually says, even in this gospel, because that's where the understanding actually comes from, but perhaps was buried for some time by church teachers, that they will come from north and south, they will come from east and west, and they will take their places in the kingdom. It's a beautiful understanding. In other words, no matter what race, nation, or rank in the world or society you hold, salvation, heaven, is inclusive. It is not, what I would say, pluralistic. I know it's a big word, you can use it in Scrabble. Pluralistic in this sense means heaven takes in everybody, God's all of God's creation. But there are not many ways to get to heaven. Pluralism means that you can get to heaven all sorts of ways. Pluralism belongs to those people that say, I don't need to go to church because I can pray. I pray at home, pray all the time. Honestly, Father, I'm the best prayer in the world, but I don't need to go to church. Well, that's a good thing. There's no doubt about that. And Father wouldn't criticise, because Father's not that stupid. But there is one way to heaven. And that one way is through the narrow door, as we hear in the gospel. That one way is only through Jesus. Now, people understand their relationship with Jesus in many and varied ways, and that's why we can say north and south and east and west. But we have an understanding in our Catholic tradition of what that relationship is and how that is lived out. It is not our place to judge how others have their relationship with Jesus Christ. It is God who does the saving and the judging, not us. And we need to be reminded of that at times when we think that we are the masters of the universe. Well, we're not. We too will be saved, but we too will be judged. I have often said that there are many ways to come to know Jesus. That's pluralism in its positive sense. I have often said that there's one altar in this church, but people make their way to communion here from very many varied routes. Even physically, you can come that door, you can come that back door, through the sacristy if you know the lock, to come to the one place. When we come to communion, you can come down whichever way you like, but please don't do that. There's an organised system in this parish. Myself, for example, I was not a cradle Catholic. I wasn't brought up in the Catholic tradition. I made my way there by a colourful, varied, sometimes painful, but mostly a joyous journey. There are many ways to get to meet Jesus. And I said in the bulletin last week, just text while you're driving, you're meeting very quickly. There are many ways, but there is only one way, we believe, for us to be saved, and that is through our relationship with Jesus. That's what he means when he says, I'm the narrow door. I am the door. Which means that everybody else crowds to get through all the double doors and people get squashed and pushed aside. Through the narrow door, there is an order. It's a bit like going through the airports these days. You're not going to get frisked and searched. Your soul will. But there is an order. And I think that if we look at it like this, if we put up with the tension and the struggles of going through the narrow door to meet Jesus, because he is that doorway. We go in our life heading to our salvation, heading to heaven through there. The beauty of understanding that image is that because it's narrow, not wide, Jesus is the door, there is just absolutely no way I cannot meet him because it's narrow. If it's wide, there's lots of ways to get there. Jesus is here and this is the doorway here. I can walk over here and I'm not near him and I'll still try to get through. In the narrow door, I've got to bump into him and he's going to welcome and hold me and just say, for all your foolishness, Richard, you're okay. That's my wish. And not only that, you're not alone. Bring all your foolish friends with you. And that's why you're here, whether you know it or not. So I think there is a real intimacy in understanding what the door is, the narrow door. It means that we are going to bump into Jesus. We can't get away from him. And that's fine by me. He's the one that does the saving and he's the one that does the judging. And I firmly believe, and I hope you do too, that when we have that encounter, it will be complete and utter bliss. All of the things that keep me awake at night now, worrying about whatever it is, all of that will be in vain. And all I have to worry about is eyeballing the Son of God as I go through the narrow gate and feel the warmth of his embrace. He does the saving. He does the judging. Not you, not me.